This is the story about...
I want to do it too.
Okay.
One, two.
This is Precious Lives.
Stories about kids.
Teens.
Guns.
Guns.
And how we end the violence.
Bye-bye.
Because we are precious.
I'm Eric Vaughn. This is Precious Lives.
I'm Mitch Tyke of WUWM's Lake Effect. Our series on children and gun violence in Milwaukee has featured the stories of many individuals and families that have been profoundly affected. We've also introduced you to some organizations that are working to intervene and make a difference in stopping the violence. But when it comes to the legal system, we might envision the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office playing a narrowly defined role, prosecuting the perpetrators of that violence. But the reality is more nuanced. Kent Lovern has been a prosecutor for 18 years. Today, he's the Chief Deputy District Attorney for Milwaukee County. For this week's installment, Lovern talks with Brad Lichtenstein of 371 Productions about the view of gun violence from the perspective of the DA's office.
Well, certainly, we know that crime is up this year, violent crime specifically relating to homicides and non-fatal shootings. So there's no question that's of concern to all of us. Sometimes there's discussion about what might be a more acceptable level of crime or an acceptable number. And I think we got to make clear here, there is no acceptable number. I mean, the only acceptable number here is zero.
Well, who's having discussions about an acceptable number?
Well, I think sometimes I hear that the numbers are unacceptable. It's unacceptably high. And I just want to make clear that I think from the standpoint of people in law enforcement and public safety, I don't think anybody believes that there is an acceptable number other than one that doesn't exist. And so the challenge then becomes, what can we do as a law enforcement community, and what can we do within the larger community to try to drive those numbers down and hope that this is just an aberration? This is a one-year out-of-the-box type of set of numbers we're seeing, and we can restore that downward again.
Well, talk about the numbers a little bit. We just went through a summer where the headline, not just in Milwaukee, but about Milwaukee, even in papers all over the country, has been that we have seen such a spike in murders and unfortunately, a number of those involve very young people, too.
Well, certainly non-fatal shootings overall are up about 15%. These are figures roughly through the end of August of this year. So we're up there. We know we're up in homicides dramatically. But the interesting thing is, while we have obviously so much focus and grief over, in particular, victims of homicides and shootings that are children, and the perpetrators who are children, and by that I mean under 17, we're actually seeing a significant downward trend there. So those victims and shooters who are under the age of 17 are actually down about a third from last year. So that is something that probably is a surprise to people, because when we hear of those incidents that are so troubling, they involve children. Those are the ones that certainly get the most attention.
What are some of the ones that you think really captured our attention, or what ones captured your attention at the DA's office?
Well, certainly any one that occurs in a schoolyard, those are just there really aren't words to describe how angry people feel about that. I think the one that occurred at the July 3rd fireworks really was unsettling to people, because, again, that's at a large community event, and it occurs in a very nice neighborhood, and the police are actually standing nearby, the chief himself nearby, and yet this incident happens and this killing of a teenager takes place. I mean, those are the incidents that and incidents like that where you know you have innocent victims and you have people exerting just terrible decision-making, destructive decision-making, and right there in a place where everyone should naturally assume they can have safety.
Do you have a sense that increased law enforcement, there's been a plan that's been talked about publicly just recently of increasing the number of investigators who are going to focus on gun crime and other, resources at the police department and in the DA's office. Do you have a sense that that is going to reduce the number of gun deaths?
This was something that has been discussed between the city, the police department, the attorney general's office, the district attorney's office here in Milwaukee County, the Department of Corrections. And the idea is essentially that there will be would be a realignment of some of the investigative resources within the police department to focus more intensely on violent crime and gun-related crime. The DOJ, the Department of Justice, is willing to contribute a certain amount of money to pay for the overtime that that group of officers would need to spend investigating those cases and following up on leads to better solve those cases more quickly. The idea then is that two assistant attorneys general would come and work in our office alongside the prosecutors we already have who work in gun court and who prosecute firearms-related offenses. And I think the idea here is that we expect to have more cases coming into us than we have right now because of an enhanced investigative focus. And we think that that additional caseload will be taken and assisted by those two prosecutors coming in from the state.
Do you feel like removing violent offenders from the community is going to have a long-term effect?
It's a good question. I think we have to always understand that police and law enforcement and public safety officials are and will always be a necessary part of our community, but they have to be viewed as the last resort and not the first resort to solving broader community challenges. There's no question in my mind that if, you know, we are able to remove violent offenders from the street and place them in a setting away from the community, that helps stabilize the community. However, much more is needed in order to build a community and make a community cohesive.
So let's break that down. You use this word cohesive. What do you mean by making communities more cohesive?
Well, I think we look at what makes up a neighborhood that is low in crime. What do you have in that neighborhood? You have schools that people attend within that neighborhood. You have grocery stores that people shop at within that neighborhood. You have a high employment rate within that neighborhood. And all of those things lend themselves to the stability and the richness of a neighborhood. And you need that every place. And I don't think there's a neighborhood in this community that doesn't want those things. It's one thing to remove people who are committing violent crime from an area, from a neighborhood, but there has to be this filling in of a neighborhood that has all of those things that make a neighborhood livable and thriving and unified.
Teen pregnancy seemed like one of those problems that probably a lot of people threw up their arms and said, it's too overwhelming, we'll never solve it. And a lot of people say that too, I think, about violent crime and especially the way in which children are committing crimes and children are becoming the victims of these crimes. Do you think people should throw up their arms and just say, or I mean, first of all, do you hear that? If you're speaking to a certain group or whatever, do people seem like to you, do they seem to have the idea that it's an intractable problem?
I think so. I think people are frustrated by it. I don't think it matters where they live or what type of occupation they have or whether they're actually impacted by violence every day. I see a lot of concerned people about the crime problem in this community, and they want to do something about it, but it seems so complex that people aren't sure what they can do. But I think the comparison to the teenage pregnancy issue is a good one because,
how come?
Well, because at that moment in time when we saw ourselves on that list and we saw that that could be a harbinger of another generation of instability in this community, people decided we were going to do something about it. And you had a very coordinated effort led by a number of entities. You had, obviously, the United Way played an amazing role in this process. And you also had essentially a community campaign around this. You had a lot of publicity generated about this. You had a lot of people brought into meetings to try to stem this tide at many different fronts. And we know, of course, that the goals for bringing down those numbers were exceeded in a shorter period of time. The reality is we have an ability in this community to get our hands around problems, unlike some very large cities that have almost intractability within their government or their neighborhoods or lots of other issues. We don't have that. And we have the ability to sit down and put people in a room together and try to solve problems.
So what do you think, Kent, in terms of trying to solve this problem of gun violence?
I think something we have to start with is that solutions really have to be community-based. They have to be neighborhood-based. They have to be respectful of what citizens within those neighborhoods are saying they want and need to have a sustainable, livable, thriving neighborhood. But they need the backbone of government from the standpoint of some of those entities that exist for a reason. Public safety entities need to be a backbone there, a backstop. Foundations are incredibly generous in this community, and I, from my observation, are very, very concerned about investing in these neighborhoods in a way that the community in those neighborhoods wants to see investment. And empowering neighborhoods to take on and prioritize those issues that they think will lead to greater stability. So, I mean, that's at a basic level is kind of, to me, the starting premise with regard to how would you approach this. Look at what we've seen in Lindsay Heights, for example. The Zilber Foundation has contributed a substantial amount of money in that direction. And in that area we're talking about now is bordered by essentially generally I-43 just to the west of the Pap City development, although it certainly moves across the interstate some eastward toward even 6th Street. If you take 6th Street moving west to about 24th Street or so, you've seen an incredible work done by Sharon Adams and by
Sharon Adams,
director of the Walnut Way Neighborhood Association, and she's done tremendous work just at the grassroots level in organizing neighborhood and building up a structure of civil living that is that can be carried out at a very high level. And what are some of the other things you've seen there in that immediate area? You've seen houses redeveloped. You've seen gardens grown. You've seen at Brown Street Academy on 20th Street, a thriving large community garden. Alice's Garden is thriving and is a centerpiece of that community. You see the Rotary Club across the street from Brown Street Academy on Fond du Lac, and that area at about 20th Street has redeveloped and contributed a lot of money toward the redevelopment of Johnson's Park. Really the only large green space in that huge area of residential living.
So can we just stop for a moment?
Sure.
Tell me your job again.
I'm a prosecutor.
And you're talking about gardens?
Well, you know, I can't say that I have direct involvement in that. I'm just identifying those things as again, if we're talking about public safety, we have to think about neighborhoods that are thriving.
Are there existing goals about reducing gun violence that are talked about in the pockets that do coordinate within government agencies, like, for instance, the Homicide Review Commission or the court?
Oh, the Community Justice Council?
Yes.
So the Community Justice Council is a group that was created several years ago of all of the local elected officials. And by that, I mean the mayor, county executive, sheriff, chief judge, district attorney, public defender, as well as other police chief, if I didn't mention the police chief. Homicide Review is part of this. So it's again, all of the people who are by definition involved in public safety by their job description meet regularly to talk around issues that that can impact not only our workings within the criminal justice system, but perhaps strategies that can have an impact in the community before things get to the criminal justice system. So, there's always, of course, a focus on reducing gun violence and violent crime in particular. I don't know that we ever state a goal because, again, you want to get it as low as you possibly can. But it's important to think about the strategies of what's working, what can be better coordinated just among law enforcement officials and public safety officials in order to respond in their sort of bread and butter function. But what can we do better to reach out to those neighborhood groups that are doing good things as well?
So it sounds like you have, on the one hand, a lot of neighborhood groups that are doing really important and good work in very specific and small areas of town communities. And then you also have this government-coordinated group that's doing work to share data and strategies and information and that kind of stuff. It seems like kind of all the pieces are there, right? Like the gumbo is almost cooked. We just need something else that brings it all together in a coordinated fashion?
I really believe that, Brad. I, at the risk of sounding too simplistic, I don't think this is something we can't get our hands around very quickly. I do believe that we have a number of groups across the city who are deeply concerned about this issue, who are working hard at it each and every day. And if we can, if we can all get on the same page and in a coordinated fashion operate this system-wide, city-wide, I think we can see a great deal of success. And I think that's what other people who come into this community, it's important to understand, you know, to some extent, we are who we say we are, right? If we decide that we just can't get around these things in this community and we just have this humble Midwestern psyche that just says, well, we just can't do it because this is what we are. We're Milwaukee or whatever. I just don't subscribe to that. And I think a lot of people don't in this community. When you see other people come in here, Paul Brophy came in here. He's helped the M7. Paul Brophy is a consultant who works with cities around economic development and looks at neighborhoods and the structures of neighborhoods. And he's been here several times now and is working with the Milwaukee 7 and with the city on advising development plans. He's done this all over the country. And he says we have more good things at work right now than many, many other comparable cities. Jeff Toobin was in here, a CNN New Yorker journalist, was in here in June to take a look at some things going on in Milwaukee and saw a lot of good things.
He wrote an article for the New Yorker.
He wrote an article for the New Yorker about some things going on in our office. And he saw, even in our most economically depressed areas of town, a housing structure that's very sound. I mean, and compared to a lot of other cities around the country, we have the foundation for a great turnaround, I think, in a lot of our neighborhoods. We just need to make it happen.
You know, you stated it early. We all know that Milwaukee is an incredibly segregated city. What can people who live in neighborhoods that are safe, that are kind of removed, not directly impacted, at least not regularly by violent crime, what can people living in those neighborhoods do to make our entire city much safer and a place where all these kids can thrive and not feel like they could get shot on a playground or they could get shot while sleeping in their bed?
Yeah, what I'd encourage people to do is look for those opportunities to connect with people in other neighborhoods, whether that be through an opportunity through your place of worship, whether that be an opportunity with a school doing some cohesive work with another school. You know, there are mentoring opportunities that abound at, you know, places like Boys and Girls Club, Our Next Generation. I mean, I could tick off any
Please.
Number of these organizations. Running Rebels does great work on the north side. You know, J.K. Lee is a black belt academy that has locations around the city. They're now invested. They train taekwondo, but what they're doing is now investing in the central city to train kids on not only becoming more physically fit, but in taking a holistic view of themselves and building their self-esteem. That's what that whole program is about. What I would suggest to people is, you know, find those things that they care about, that people are passionate about, and look for what's going on right now in those communities. If you're passionate about education, you should be involved with Milwaukee Succeeds, because it's a large, robust educational initiative going on right now that intends to help every Milwaukee student. And a lot of organizations are a part of this right now. And they're looking not only at the best practices within the classroom, but what is the baggage that kids are bringing to school with them that is impeding their ability to learn? And what can we do about that? You know, there are any number of entities that you may not think of as public safety assets. Urban Ecology Center is something you may not think of as a public safety asset, but they've created now three places strategically built. Riverside Park 20 years ago was in shambles before their presence helped turn that around. They're now located in the Valley area, Menominee Valley area, and they're located in the Washington Park area, a huge, beautiful park in the middle of some neighborhoods that have been troubled. And they're now an asset that is essentially drawing kids into their center and providing a safe place for them to congregate and to learn about how important it is to be connected with nature. I mean, they're an enormous public safety asset that we need to support. I was at yesterday with a group at St. Anne's Intergenerational Center that's been built. They have one that's thrived for a long time in Bayview. There's one up now that's being built and just opened at 24th and North. So this would now be at the west end, essentially, of this Walnut Way neighborhood. Drive by there. It's an enormous, you know, a total of 140,000 square feet of building space.
And this is an intergenerational daycare and long-term care.
Intergenerational daycare for seniors and those afflicted with some physical and mental challenges and kids. And they will serve hundreds of people in that neighborhood. And it's a beautiful site. And that will be a place, a gathering place. And they will be serving the people in that surrounding neighborhood. And in fact, they've been building there for a couple of years now. It's a beautiful site. The question asked by one of the people on our tour group was, boy, you have all this equipment out here. You have all this beautiful stuff happening. Have you been concerned about the safety of that in this neighborhood? And Sister Edna Lonergan said, not at all. We haven't had one incident of vandalism. We haven't had one incident of anyone disrupting this site because it's something people in the neighborhood value and see as important. It's easy to think about the traditional public safety entities like Safe and Sound that do great work with the community prosecution programs at the district levels of the Milwaukee Police Department. But it's also for those in the community who are trying to figure out how can I help make a difference, I would say, look at an organization that you like to support and find out what they're doing in this community that goes beyond just their program that maybe we take advantage of. And I think you'll find that many, many of these organizations are now trying to do things within the community because they're recognizing it's for the good of our greater future.
Thank you very much, Kent, for joining us here for Precious Lives.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
Kent Lovern is Chief Deputy District Attorney for Milwaukee County. He spoke with Brad Lichtenstein of 371 Productions. At the Precious Lives website, www.preciousliveproject.com, you'll find out how to give help or get help and get involved with many of the organizations Kent Lovern mentioned.
Precious Lives is produced by 371 Productions in association with WUWM, WNOV, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. We're supported by the Greater Milwaukee Foundation and the Isabel and Alfred Bader Fund. Music by Kiran V.